Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to admit, right from the start, that it's not the hardness of that gospel lesson that really affects me, or the sharpness of it. It's this notion that Jesus is somehow portraying himself as the ultimate CPA. Now, certified public accountants do a marvelous thing. I'm not one of them. They serve as a counterbalance to some of our ideas of telling us what's real, what we can afford, what's legal, where the tax consequences are. They are, as the late Keith Brown used to say about the Virginia Synod, he said his job was to shoot holes in all the clouds and pastors we throw up in our imaginations by grounding us in the reality of what it took to do the things that we would propose that the Virginia Synod did when I served on the council. We spent all summer, haven't we? Getting these lessons about boldly doing things and taking great risks and doing things that were unpopular with some American, all these stories. And then all of a sudden the church throws us this one where Jesus says, count the cost. How do you put this together? How do you reconcile? Well, I have a few notions about this. One, I think, is the fact that the Bible is grounded deeply in reality. It's a very real book. That's why there are a few school districts banning it in places across our country, because they don't want to deal with reality. Well, the Bible deals with reality. Good and bad. Anything you can think of that's going on, there's probably some sort of a parallel to it somewhere in Scripture. The Scripture is not a fairy tale. Anyone tells you it is, laugh at them and just start talking about Noah and some other people in Scripture, and they'll quickly shut up. Because they're not infallible people. They are very fallible people. Reality exists in the Bible of sin, a failure, a betrayal, all those things. And it's there because that's how God has chosen to work. Not pulling the people of faith away from reality, but making a promise of grace that comes into the midst of our reality. I say that because sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the ultimate goal. We believe in Jesus' ultimate victory, and we trust in God staying with us. And that we can depend on. But that does not mean that there are not trials and tribulations, drama, really sometimes almost disgust when we look at the world around us. That's not a 21st century invention. It's always been that way. History has always been full of the ups and downs, the in and outs. And the Bible wants us to not be naive and expect that just because we have faith, the world's going to listen to us and everything's going to be right. We're all going to sing kumbaya all day long. No. We live in a fallen world. That's clear in the Bible. Beautiful world, many wondrous things in it. But it doesn't take much of a look on your TV or on your tablets or on your phone to quickly find out that that world is far from perfect. How many know that in our personal lives? And part of the purpose of Scripture is to not let us get so disheartened with what we see. But these things are going to happen. We're going to have times when even if we're speaking the truth, we'll be opposed. And families will at times go against one another. And there will be a cost involved. That's the second thing. I think the Bible wants to be clear to us, and Jesus wants to be clear to us, that crowd following him was following him because he did miracles. They were getting on board the train, you know. This looks good, let's jump on board. But following God is not always easy. And it's not always popular. And it's not always successful. We are never, ever, that I know of, and if someone finds one, we can talk about that, promised success in the Bible. We're not called to success, we're called to faithfulness. It is our greatest witness, I think, that despite the fact that the world is messed up, and sometimes our own lives get messed up, that we still trust and believe that God is active in our lives and in the world. I believe that's the strongest faith statement we can make. No matter how good words we put behind it, that fact that we still are faithful through all of that speaks to a world that very quickly throws out something that doesn't work. That doesn't work today, we throw it away. And throwing the baby out with the baptismal water, as Martin Luther, I think, was quoted as saying once. But our faith is long enduring. And that's part of this whole thing, that God works over a long course of time. And that we can't judge it. Is God calling you today? It's not instant gratification. The Bible is very clear. There's no instant gratification for anyone in Scripture. It's a long haul. It's more like a marathon than it is a sprint. The same called faith. And God wants us to be prepared for that. To to acknowledge that, to face that fact, so that when we do accept the calling to be God's people in the world, that we don't just go out expecting everyone to listen to us and everything to be right. No, there's going to be resistance. Doing the right thing does not always get you reward. Faithfulness keeps you in connection with God. And that is why it's worth it. In addition, you flip the page on that and say, isn't that how God deals with us? God is not faithful to us when we do good things. It's not a reward system, you know, that you put in 5 good merits and you get something for it. No. Faith is about the fact that God cares for you and I, loves us, blesses us, not only when we're good, but when we're bad, and when we're not doing what we're supposed to, we never fall out of God's grace. And while we can't repeat that back to God, God calls us to try to live into that gracefulness in how we treat each other and how we look back to God. You know, I'm not happy with God every day. June knows me well enough that sometimes I fuss at God too. You know, we all do. It doesn't make sense sometimes, this thing in life. And I don't understand why certain things happen. But I do have faith, and I hope you do too, that enables you to endure failures, frustrations, and other things, because that is through that process that God speaks to us, works through us, and speaks to the world around us. I'm going to give you an example. We're going to sing for our second hymn, a hymn written in French. If you want to sing, if anyone knows French and wants to sing it in French, you're welcome to it. But if you look at the bottom, it's attributed to the Little Sisters. This is the organization that Mother Teresa belonged to. And this is their theme song. And it speaks of kind of endurance and carrying on. And if you know the life of Mother Teresa, and we've learned more in her diary since she died, she struggled greatly with her faith. Had great doubts and frustrations about whether her work was blessed or not. But she got up every day, trusted in the Lord's grace, and lived through it. And through her example, how many of us have been inspired? Now, we may not make the news, but she was able to, and I think that always embarrassed her that she made the news from what I read about her. But our lives, hope and faith in the midst of, not avoiding dangers and troubles, not avoiding the realities of life, speak volumes to the God who never avoids us. So these messages today are hard. Jesus was waking the crowd up that it's not going to all be easy following him. And I think the church needs to do that in the midst of these many stories we've had. We don't leap a faith naively. We know, people of faith, that there's going to be consequences. We know there are going to be costs. We count the cost and we leap anyway, because Jesus is always leaping towards us. So to say, let's not be afraid of reality. Let's not get overwhelmed with what's going on in the world. Let's focus on the fact that God is with us, carries us, walks with us through all this, and that in that act of faithfulness, we, too, are an example to the world. So yeah, maybe Jesus sometimes needs to be the CPA in my life, shooting holes in some of my clouds. But he never, ever abandons me, leaves me behind, or fails to get me where he needs me to be for his sake. That we can. Amen.
Amen.